Coming up, Terminator 2 is the latest casualty over at Universal Orlando. We now know the original houses coming to Halloween Horror Nights 27. Plus, we have a dining review for you later on from, well, my house, not the Bob Varley studio, in Winter Garden, Florida. This is the Universal edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 143 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I, of course, am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am not joined alongside by my co-host, Rhino Clavin. He's currently out in California fighting his way to try to get back home before Hurricane Irma hits us. Yes, we're just a few days away from when we'll be impacted by that. So thank you already to everyone out there who has sent good thoughts, prayers, all that goodness. You know, we've been doing a good job trying to get ready for it and it just, you know, do what we have to do in order to get through the storm with little to no issues because, well, next week is the beginning of Halloween Horror Nights, so I think I can speak for myself and many others when I say we need this storm to pass so we can start focusing on the important things in life, like trying to get scared at Halloween Horror Nights. And so we'll talk about the four original houses in just a little bit, but part of the blessing of me doing this at my house today means, of course, I am filming this actually today on its release, not live, but just a little bit ago, and very, very, very news that caught me off guard came out this morning, and that is that Terminator 2 3D will be closing. Yes, Terminator 2 has seemed like its time's been up for quite some time now. I mean, I don't want to say it's a bad attraction. It's not. There are definitely some really cool aspects of the attraction. In terms of 3D shows, it is one of the better 3D shows that has ever been at either Universal or Walt Disney World. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in there. Plus, Terminator 2 is an absolute classic when it comes to action movies. It's an attraction that just has had its days numbered for a while, and now its time is officially up. And we'll make the joke, hasta la vista, baby, like everyone's been kind of already throwing out there. But yeah, no, I guess I just have mixed feelings for it. It's never been one of my absolute favorite shows or attractions. I do think it's entertaining, but I've always felt like the space could be utilized for something else, and now that's what's going to happen. It is going to be utilized for something else. So October 8th will be the final day of shows over at Universal Studios Florida. And then after that, it will be permanently closed. What will come in its place is a question at this point. So Universal did confirm in a media that was sent out to media, as well as team members received it too, I believe, that it will be an attraction based on a Universal franchise. So that is the first big thing. You have to look at all the Universal movies, which also includes DreamWorks. So it could be something surrounded on DreamWorks. It could be dealing with the Dark Universe, the Universal horror films, despite the fact that, you know, The Mummy just didn't do too well, I guess, domestically. Overseas, it didn't do awful, but definitely in terms of the United States, The Mummy just was a bit of a sleeper. And then after that, we already know Fast and Furious is supercharged, is over a disaster, so they're not going to make a second attraction based on Fast and Furious. It's definitely not going to be Harry Potter. It just makes no sense in that area. I've seen one or two sites maybe say, like, throwing out the potential for Jason Bourne. I don't see a potential in that really myself. While the movies have done well, I mean, it's taken four of them to kind of get up to, I believe it's over $1 billion they've made. So yeah, they have been really popular, but I just don't see them as making a good show per se. So, I mean, maybe it could in that realm if they keep that theater used as a 3D theater, then I guess there is the potential there, blending some live action 3D with some of the stunts of Jason Bourne being shown that way, but then also retaining a lot of the live action elements, which is what made Terminator 2 3D such a cool attraction. So I guess I do see a little bit of promise in that one. What I would rather see in that area is, as I already mentioned, in terms of franchises, the Dark Universe. I'm in the boat that The Mummy was not a great movie. It was pretty flawed, but in terms of the Dark Universe as a whole, I'm still somewhat excited for it. I think there's a lot of potential there. And so that in itself is reason to definitely give it an attraction, especially one that won't open until 2019. But the only thing I can think about is out in Hollywood, they're building the theater in the old space that was Shrek 4D that's going to change up as it needs to, and it'll show a little bit of it'll show some How to Train Your Dragon, maybe at one point in time, Kung Fu Panda, just anything in the DreamWorks realm. So, what's there to say that we can't have something like this with the Dark Universe here in Universal Orlando? If you go down that road, then you could say, okay, well, we're going to launch with The Mummy, and then we're going to throw in something based on Dracula down the road, or Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein. I just feel like there's a lot of ways to change this up and keep it really Universal heavy. And, considering The Mummy did pretty well overseas, that's another reason for Universal to kind of go down this road, because let's be honest, a lot of people who go to Universal aren't from only the United States. They get a lot of foreign visitors in, so maybe it will appeal a little bit more to foreign markets, get them to come out here for it. And if it's something that is exclusive only to Universal Orlando, that's even better. So we will have to see what happens with that. Like I said, it will close after October 8th and be gone forever. So you have a month to get out there and experience it. And I'm sure you'll see me along with many other people at the last day of that attraction, just kind of like we were doing just this past week for Dragon Challenge Final Day. And I wasn't really going to talk about any of that in the news. It was a little bit sad for Dragon Challenge, though, that it didn't even get a fitting goodbye. Well, almost in a way it did, but on the final day, on Labor Day this past Monday, unfortunately, some thunderstorms came through in the late afternoon, like what always happens, and Dragon Challenge was forced to close for weather around, I want to say it was 5 o'clock-ish. The park closed at 7. And so, yeah, there were some final groups that were able to get on the ride a couple hours before it closed, and then after that, no one else got to experience the attraction at all. And the reason why I do say it's kind of fitting for that is, at least as a person who used to work at Dragon Challenge, part of the things that you would look forward to going in for a PM shift, clocking in at 2 o'clock and being there throughout the rest of the night, one of the best parts about it is that if you did have that shift, you were pretty much almost guaranteed during summer and going into fall that you were going to be closed for a couple hours because of thunderstorms. So it'd be awesome to show up to work, only have to work for a couple hours, and then just get to entertain guests because the ride was down due to weather. So it is kind of fitting that it did end in this way, and I know I'll miss it. There was a lot of team members that showed up as well as guests to say goodbye in the last final minute. Speeches were made. It was definitely different than many other closings that we've experienced here over the past couple years in and around the Orlando area. It's just been an onslaught. Off the top of my head, thinking now we've lost Dragon Challenge, we've lost Disaster, Twister over at Disney, losing Universe of Energy, Great Movie Ride. It just things keep changing so quickly. So Dragon Challenge will be missed, and I'm glad that I was able to be there for the last day of it. And anyone else who was there, I hope you enjoyed that day as well too. So now I'm going to switch gears and move over into Halloween Horror Nights news. And we got big news for you there. So we finally have our our overall house list, all the houses, scare zones, shows have been announced. We've talked about all the ones that have already been announced on this show in depth, so I'm not going to waste any extra time on those. We are only going to go over the originals. So I am going to go through them and read the description. So we are going to start with the first one, Scarecrow the Reaping. So it reads, since the Great Dust Bowl, an abandoned farmhouse stands in Nebraska. The bountiful fields ravaged by the farmers' plows have spurred anger in the land. Scarecrow guardians have risen from the blood-soaked soil to seek revenge, the harvest that will be reaped this season. Is you. So, I don't know. I guess I was listening to that differently in my head because it came out sounding very weird. I am pretty excited for Scarecrow the Reaping. I kind of like the fact that it's going to be taking place in an abandoned farmhouse and during the Dust Bowl period. I think putting it in that time period shows a lot of promise. It's going to be very desolate, just really spooky overall. I think it's, you know, I guess the one part I'm kind of wondering is it going to be feeling like a little bit too similar to last year when we had Thunder Gulch? At least I think that was the name of it. I just literally blanked on it. One of my favorite houses last year, and it just completely went away from me. But you know, that was taking place in the Wild West, kind of in a ghost town. So this might have a little bit of the same feel to it, which I think is what it appeals to me. But we'll have to see what happens with it. I do like that we know it'll be scarecrows that are coming after us, as well as I'm guessing probably a lot of farmers that are just really down on their luck, which they should be. It's the Dust Bowl, it's the Depression, some really hard times there. But I'm excited for this one. I think it will be a beautiful house to go through because of the time period that it's hitting on. The next one, which also sounds amazing. I'm going to say this about all of them, so I don't want to like linger on too much about that. I think they all sound amazing. But the next one is Hive, and Universal says, we're a huge fan of those little-known 1980s horror movies, and we wanted to make you feel as if you're in those movies. The story takes everything that is sexy, beautiful, or cool about vampires and flushes it down the toilet. These Nosferatu are nasty, animalistic, and vicious. It's the type of house that will make you cling to your date all the way to the exit, if you make it that far. So we know we have a vampire house here. The aspect that I love about it, which is literally what they focused on, is that they're going for 1980s B-movie, essentially, which I think this is a great concept. I know as a child being born in the late 80s and then growing up through the 90s, I'm guessing that this is going to closely mimic a lot of the movies that I saw on TV as I was growing up late at night that were always really, really bad, just terrible in every way, from the type of scares that actually happened to the costumes, makeup, plot, dialogue, the entire way around. It just really bad in that regards. But then, you know, it'll bring up all these good memories. Some of those so bad they're good movies are what a lot of people love about horror in general. So I think there is a lot of promise here for this one. And, you know, vampires, always good for a good scare. So I can't say much more about that. What's sexy, beautiful, and cool about vampires flushes it down the toilet. That's the only thing that's catching me off guard is, are these things going to be so nasty that they don't even resemble vampires? I'm not really quite sure on that, but I think it's got promise. As long as it really clings to the B-movie factor in it, then it could be good. Now, potentially one of the best houses that has been announced in terms of the original or the intellectual property houses, we have Dead Waters. So this house, Universal says, we have had houses that later became scare zones in the streets of Universal Studios Florida. This is one of the first times in recent memory that a scare zone has influenced a house. For Halloween Horror Nights 24, we had Bayou of Blood scare zone. It was so strong in character and story that we had to revisit its story again. We're excited to have you explore the dead waters of the Voodoo Queen and her hellish realm. Trust me, you'll freak out when you see the half-sunken riverboat and skeletal remains of her victims close in. Now, the reason I am so pumped about this house is because Bayou of Blood is one of the coolest scare zones that I can remember from the past couple years at Halloween Horror Nights. So the big marquee part of this scare zone was the fact that the Voodoo Queen had her house sitting up right across from Mel's. Basically, it was right around where the stage is currently that's being used for Academy of Villains and such. So this would have had to been, 2016, 2015. So Bayou of Blood, did it already say it in the story? And I literally wasn't paying attention. It absolutely did. 24. So 2014 is when we had Bayou of Blood and the Voodoo Queen sat out there. I think it was rumored that the Voodoo Queen was going to, that she was going to actually kill someone up on stage. And I want to say maybe it actually happened the very first night of the event and then it never happened after that. I don't remember what was true or not with it. I never saw it, so I can't say it was. Some people claim that they saw something like that and it was so gory that they'd never be able to do it again. Regardless, being able to take this and flesh it out into a full house, I think that is definitely awesome. You know, there is something absolutely creepy about that New Orleans voodoo vibe. The only thing that I hope this doesn't tread on too much is the fact that we have American Horror Story house this year that's going to be focusing on Coven. And most of Coven is the fact that it's a bunch of witches in New Orleans. And it's not just in the show, you obviously have Angela Bassett's Marie. I can't remember the last name for the life of me, but you have her character that is heavy into voodoo, so maybe they aren't going to focus on that so much and maybe just stick more towards the witches. I mean, that wasn't overly about voodoo. This is going to be very voodoo heavy, so maybe it'll just complement it, keep the voodoo vibe running along, but I cannot wait for this. This will probably be the most popular of the original houses, unless it's just not done well, which I can't imagine that it would be. So we'll move into the last house, which is The Fallen. Universal describes this as, it's the ancient battle between good and evil. The Fallen are flying, jumping, and crawling up from the kingdom of darkness and laying waste to all who cross their path of destruction. These creatures are awesome, and yes, I did say flying. This house is a mix between beauty and decay, high screech and deep roar, and delivers more surprises than he can fit in this paragraph. So not a ton of details in this one other than that I think we can take away that this is going to be potentially the overall prettiest of the original houses. The only thing that kind of catches me off guard on this one is the flying aspect. Usually when Universal does scares that are surrounded by like characters that are flying on wires, it doesn't turn out to be the greatest. It's cool to watch, but in terms of the effectiveness of the scariness, it's, I would say, not very good at all. But you know what? Maybe they're not going for that with us. Maybe they're just going for more of a pure terror of being in there than a lot of jump scares, which I could absolutely see. You know, we always usually have at least one kind of fun house. So maybe this is just a different version of that. I'm not really sure, but it does sound interesting to me nonetheless. We'll see how that changes once I actually go through it, but that's it for now. So that's going to wrap up everything that we have to say in terms of announcement for this year's Festival of the Deadliest. And of course, Halloween Horror Nights will start September 15th, next Friday. So unfortunately, no longer are the team members allowed to take guests during the team member preview. So unfortunately, we won't have a show for you on Halloween Horror Nights next week like we've done in years past, where we have it ready to go the night before the event. we have to wait until after we actually go to experience the event. So I do apologize for that. But you know what? It's better for team members that way. When I was a team member going to that, I hated how long the lines were a lot of times because of just too many people there. Just, you know, having all the team members plus bringing a guest, which a lot of the times that was someone who wasn't from Universal. That really clogged things up, plus third party people who then a couple years they got to bring a guest that made things worse. So long story short, I think it's better overall for team members there to go and have a great experience. Just kind of sucks for us, but we will be there on September 15th. I'll be there the 16th. I'll be there all the time. I'm getting a frequent fear pass like I do every year, and I'm just going to get my fair share of Universal. So I will be there a lot, and if you see me there, definitely say hi at some point in time. But that's going to do it for our news in this episode, and now I'm going to actually throw it over to Craig and Rhino, who are out in Universal Orlando at Thunder Falls Terrace for a dining review. That's right, Jurassic Park's Thunder Falls Terrace. So this one actually was Rhino's idea, so he knew that he was going to be traveling. We wanted to do a dining review so that way he wouldn't be completely missing from this show, and as we are going through, I tried to suggest, like, let's just do pizza pred. We can get a meatball sub there. It's not that bad. I used to eat those all the time when I worked at Universal. They're actually pretty good. But instead, he ended up going with Thunder Falls Terrace, which has a menu full of ribs and chicken and not much more variety than that. Bacon cheeseburgers that sit up in heat lamps for far too long. But there's no point in me talking about it. We documented our entire experience there. So let's go ahead and watch Rhino and myself at Thunder Falls Terrace. Hello, everyone. It is Craig here with Rhino.
Hello.
We are in Jurassic Park here at Islands of Adventure for our next fun dining review. And today, we got a doozy for you. Some people might already realize where we're at, what's right behind us. If you don't know, today we're eating at a little place called Thunder Falls Terrace.
Sounds like a wrestling restaurant.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad 80s like action movie. Yeah. Like, welcome to Thunder Falls.
Chuck Norris.
Exactly.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And there you
go. He'd be in that.
He would be in that, so maybe a little, a little Sly. Sly might be too good for it. Regardless, that doesn't matter. This place got rotisserie chicken, as you can see on the sign, barbecue ribs, burgers, crap like that. So my expectations are low. We're going to go in, see what looks good, pick some stuff out, eat it, and let you know what we think. So let's go. Food choices here at Thunder Falls Terrace in Jurassic Park. Rhino, what'd you get?
The rotisserie chicken salad, which was something unique to watch assemble because the chicken came out of a plastic bag and was measured in some sort of device. I'm gonna give a little sample of it right now. It's cold. It's cold and slimy. The salad had a little bit more going for it than I thought. There's nuts on the side and some craisins. It's about to get craisin up in here. Yep, those are craisins. These are some sort of nut. Perhaps a walnut. I don't know what that is. I'm not a nut expert. I don't know. And then there's a mandarin orange on the side. And fun fact about me, I hate when fruits and vegetables mix. So I'm glad it's on the side. I don't have an issue with eating a mandarin orange. I love oranges, but the description of the salad was kind of non-existent. So you got to be careful of that sort of thing there. But it's got some nondescript salad dressing on the side.
I believe it was citrus.
I think it's
vinaigrette.
That would be an appropriate description.
Okay.
Sort of non-defying flavor. I thought maybe it was Caesar.
No. Caesar never visited Jurassic Park.
I'm going to take just kind of a bite of everything. I feel like it's a pretty straightforward item, but what it is. It's like a theme park food. The chicken's fine. I was worried it was going to be that, like, you know when you get really cheap chicken, or sometimes you order your McChicken at McDonald's and you get that one chewy part of it. I was a little scared that was going to happen here. So far, so good. It's fine. It's just that decent high school lunch lady salad mix paired with cheapo chicken. So I'm not impressed, but I also knew I wasn't going to be impressed coming in here. But I'll keep eating and then I'll let you know. So Craig can tell us what he got, yeah. Though.
I went with the ribs. Felt like it needed to. And with the ribs came two sides. I obviously went with the corn on the cob. And then these roasted potatoes, which these are actually heaven. I could make a full meal out of just eating these. They're crispy. They're soft. They're bursting with herb flavor, but
I mean, it looks kind of red on the side.
It looks good. It's not like overly fatty, and I don't know. Maybe it's just smoked well.
Looks nothing.
The flavor's okay. And the barbecue sauce is decent. It is coming off the bone. It's not sticking to the bone, so it could be a lot worse. Kind of like your salad, I would say it's theme park ribs. You're not going to like a good rib restaurant, steakhouse, and getting like fall off the bone, succulent ribs. This is just, it's good for what it is.
Is it better than what you anticipated?
Yes, it is way better than I anticipated. I expected to be like gnawing every little piece of meat off there. And it is kind of falling off, but it's really dense, really chewy.
Well, tip too, because we did this when we were in line, is the line kind of splits two ways. And we went to the side where there weren't any ribs out, knowing that they would have to plate a fresh, well, fresh, because it's a heat lamp or whatever, but they would have to plate some ribs. So it wasn't like it had been separated from the herd and put out there for like however long. I also did get a side. They had a side of rice and beans that I figured I'd just get just in case the salad was like unedible. So I'm going to try it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but we'll see. I was tempted. Actually, this is surprisingly good.
The corn's good too. Nice, sweet. I added a pat of butter onto it. But, I mean, corn's still in season here right now. I feel like I am such a mess. I feel like I have barbecue sauce all over my mouth and I'm like a child.
No wet naps up there?
I didn't look.
Oh. I feel like there's some flavor to that rice. It's a little zesty.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not just bland yellow rice.
Yeah, which I was surprised.
Yeah, there's a little bit of flavor. The black beans, although they look like they've been sitting here just getting cold, still really good. So we need to keep eating, though, and really dig into it. We'll give you an update in a little bit. We are just about done. So, you want to give an update on your food as to now before you take those last couple bites?
Yeah. So, it's unoffensive what I got. I think this place could maybe benefit from doing like what Pecos Bill did at the Magic Kingdom by having like kind of the toppings, the accoutrements bar, if you will. Because I think like maybe a couple banana peppers or something would have elevated the salad just enough that I would have been like, yeah, good, you know? But like overall, it's not the worst thing I've ever had. I think the star of my meal was the rice and beans, though. Those are actually very flavorful and pretty good. And so like the sides in here are pretty good and decently priced. I think they were somewhere between like $2.50 and $4 for them all, maybe $2.99, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but they came with, well, the rice and beans came with another meal.
Oh, this was on the side of the other meal.
Yes.
See, I thought I was just adding a side, because you can just add the sides too up there.
Yeah, you can add the sides, but this one, in fact, was for a wrap that was also purchased, but not showcased in this review. For reasons.
I did eat one of Craig's ribs. And it wasn't the worst rib I've ever had. I did not care for pulling the meat off the bone like I did because it made me feel like a barbarian, but I know people love ribs. And I love Four Rivers too. It's just they take it off the bone for you.
Well, I found the problem that I have with these ribs, I don't know how well it will showcase, but this is a layer of fat that's running along the backside of the ribs. Now, like, when I cook ribs at home, how everyone should, I recommend removing this layer of fat because then it allows a lot of the juices to permeate in a little bit more. The ribs will fall off the bone a lot easier. This does hold it all together, but, you know, then you're chewing through a layer of fat.
It almost has that feel, that consistency of, like, sausage casing. You know, when you have kielbasa, you bite through.
Exactly.
But I do like biting through the kielbasa. Pops.
But overall, it's smoked really well, so I can't complain. I mean, again, we're in a theme park. It's decent enough.
I mean, they painted your sauce on like he was an artist. He took a big old paintbrush and painted it right on.
Oh, heck yeah, he did.
Okay.
So that happened. Well, speaking of that, let's talk about the atmosphere in here. It's actually surprisingly quiet for the amount of people that are in here.
Yeah. When I walked in, it was like, it seemed like it was going to be very assaulting on your senses, but now that we've kind of sat down for a little while, it's fine. It's not even that. I feel good. It's air conditioned. It's indoors. You've actually got a really nice view of the River Adventure, where it comes down the slope where they do the crashing into the water. So every now and then there's a giant splash of water on the other side of the building. But
yeah. I mean, it's high ceilings in here, so you would think that it would be a lot louder than it is, but it's really not that bad. So I can't complain about the noise level. Theming overall, it fits in well with Jurassic Park. So far,
there was no Chilean sea bass.
Yeah, there was no Chilean sea bass. Really, the only issue that I think we've had is we kind of waited in line a really long time, and we came at an off time, like close to 3:00. So it really shouldn't have been as long of a line as we waited.
It was slow for no reason.
Yeah, it was very slow for no reason. But overall, it could be worse. It could be Blondie's. So we'll finish up the last little bits here, and we'll give you our final thoughts. Rhino, he did mention that we were able to watch Jurassic Park River Adventure right outside the window, and so that's why we're out here now. We're finished with our meal. It was an experience. Rhino, what'd you think?
Overall, this was my first dining experience here. I don't think it's as bad as everybody led me to believe it was going to be. But I do feel like it's basic. I don't mean in like the cheeseburger or hot dog sort of way, but it is the low level of the theme park food that you can get. You know what I mean? You walk in and it does look like, okay, this is the same kind of fare that's at Three Broomsticks. You got the chicken with the potatoes, you got the ribs with the potatoes and the corn, stuff like that. But the flavor profile here, the preparation, however they're doing it in the Wizarding World, it is coming out at a much higher level, much higher standard than it is here. But with that said, I don't think this food was unedible or anything like that. I think it was fine. I think if you're just walking around and you just want somewhere to go and you want to get in and out, I mean, I don't know about in and out though, because it was a little slow, but.
Yeah, it was a little slow. Like, I mean, your meal, your salad for $9.99, not a bad deal.
Yeah, it came with the mandarin orange, some sort of nut. I think it was a walnut, the craisins with the chicken. Like, for $9.99, not too bad, you know?
Yeah, the rib platter was $16.99. And you know what? I guess that's not too terrible overall.
Yeah, but I think it's the less corn, than that. And same. You literally got the same thing they have over there, but I think it's like $4 less over there.
I will say that the corn and the potatoes make up for it. It wasn't the worst thing. It was pretty tasty overall, but would I go back there again? For a review in the future, yes. I will go back there and we'll do a re-review at some time, try other things or just
maybe
switch up what we got.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, but
the sides were the stars overall. That's
the sides were the stars. Would I go back there just with like friends, family? No. I would still find somewhere else, go to Potter, go any of the restaurants. Yeah, go sit down somewhere. But you know what? We got to try these because we have to let you know if it's worth it. Definitely don't... If you're really looking for a place and it's all that's available at the time, you don't have to skip it. But don't go out of your way to eat here.
But know that this is not the bottom of the barrel.
Definitely.
That's still Blondie's. We've still got the bottom. We've still got a base level here.
This is better than Blondie's and better than Mel's. But we're going to keep working our way through the crap here at Universal Orlando. The bad places, the non-good ones. So that's going to do it for this review in particular. But we'll be back with another one at some point in the future. So that is it for now.
Well, I really hope that you enjoyed that fun dining experience that we had. Looking back onto it, I still don't know how I quite feel about it. I think I actually was happier about it in the moment than I was looking back on it now. But you know what? That's what happens when you get a beer before you go and do a dining review. Just throwing that out there. But yeah, so if you've eaten at Thunder Falls Terrace, Definitely leave comments below and let us know what you think about it, as well as everything we talked about today, whether it's Terminator 2, 3D closing, the new original houses for this year's Halloween Horror Nights, any thoughts on Dragon Challenge closing, just go ahead and go comment crazy below. I will read them all, and only some of them will make me angry. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I just want to say thank you to everyone out there, as I do every single week, for listening and watching. I really do appreciate it. We do this for you, so we really hope you enjoy it. And as always, if you do enjoy it and you think you have a friend that might also enjoy it, please do not hesitate to share this with them. And then, of course, if you're not subscribed to us already on YouTube, hit subscribe, hit thumbs up, hit all the buttons that you can, just not that thumbs down. That one is bad. If you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead and make sure you are subscribed to us there as well. And also rate and review us on there. I do read those too. Those usually make me a lot angrier than YouTube. So that's always fun. And of course, if you need any other information, just head over to disunplugged.com. That is the home of our show notes page for this show and all the other shows on the Diz Unplugged podcast network. So that's going to do it for me. I want to say thank you again one more time, and we will be back next week with another edition of the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. Until then, though, remember, no resolutions.